It's the Fastlane on 101 ESPN. Jamie Rivers, Brad Thompson, Anthony Stalter. We are pleased to be joined now via the Brown and Crouppen Celebrity Line by Leo Mazzoni, former Braves pitching coach, Braves Hall of Famer as well. And Leo, first and foremost, thank you so much for joining us. I can't imagine, as you're watching Max Scherzer get shaken down out there like he was about to board an airplane, that what you were thinking. So what were you thinking watching Max Scherzer last night?
What I was thinking is how ridiculous this thing has become, you know. That's what I think. And I've always had the greatest respect in the world for Joe Girardi, but what in the world is that all about? I think that was, I don't know, I think it was kind of asinine, to be honest with you. I would have never expect that from Joe. And him being a catcher and everything else, I was shocked. But anyway, this thing with the pitcher's grips and all that sort of thing is it's ridiculous. I mean, before you do something like that, you have to get together with everybody and have a conversation as to how you're going to do it, what you're going to do, you know, because there's going to be certain people that can take advantage of that rule by disrupting a rhythm, a timing, or whatever, you know. And so, what are the rules? What can you do? What can't you do? Do you get penalized if you try to check somebody down in the middle of an inning when he's trying to get through an inning, and there's no penalty for that? I don't know. You got to get together and have an idea of what you're trying to do. And then Romo dropping his pants. I thought, you know what? All this did is stir the pot. Now you realize that you just don't throw a rule change in or something, say, well, you can't do this on the ball or you can't do that, without having a discussion about it and figuring it out with the pitchers and with the players. You know, here, what's the best way to do this? Do we have something in common that we can all can use that can take care of the grip on the ball or whatever? But the bottom line is this, guys. It's all being based on strikeouts. Because, you know, talking about spin rate and the strikeouts and swings and misses. But nobody ever talks about how the hitters are approaching the strike zone and how they're approaching home plate. My God, in our era, we doubled or tripled our strikeouts the way guys swing now. So, but here's the one thing that I agree with the Tampa pitcher when he said about, you know, when you have to clamp down on the ball. Anytime you clamp down on the ball, you raise the risk of arm injury, okay? And I can tell you this right now, in our experiences over the years, and my guys didn't use anything. The Maddox couldn't stand having anything sticky on his fingers. Smoltz couldn't stand. I mean, Glavin didn't like it. None of them. I never saw anybody use it. I had one relief pitcher that used it a little bit, and that was about it. But anyway, our recovery times were for a lot longer to recover for our next start when they just pitched in Candlestick Park or they had just pitched in Coors Field in Colorado, because the ball is slick in those places quicker, slicker than any place else that you pitch in the big leagues, and you have to clamp down on the ball to get a grip and to get a hold of it. How much I love to have pitchers throw. When we were in Candlestick Park or we were in Coors Field, the guys would say, Leo, we said, we want to get out on the mound and practice our pitches, but we can't do it here because we have to work too hard in between starts to make the ball do something, you know, that we want it to do, and we can't get it to do it. So those are the adjustments as a pitching coach that you made. So anyway, I mean, I understand what's going on, but I think it's silly. I think it's ridiculous. You have to have a better game plan than just saying, hey, you know, we're going to check pitchers now or whatever.
Leo, I feel bad for the umpires in this too, as well as the managers, because, you know, we dog on Joe Girardi for doing what he did last night, and I'm with you. I was like, come on, Joe. But at the same time, you're like, okay, the league is letting this happen. They're kind of encouraging this to happen, to shake down the pitchers, and then the umps look discouraged at the same time, having to walk out there and do this whole TSA thing to the pitchers every time. I mean, at some point, the umpires and the managers got to be a little ticked about this too.
Oh, I think so. I think for the umpires, I think they actually feel embarrassed that they got to do it. You know what I mean? It's kind of, you know, you see how some of them walk up to the pitcher and they say, look, I got to, you can read their faces and say, look, I got to do this. Okay. I don't want to do it, but I got to do it. You know, one of those types of deals. And then of course, then managers, I mean, I don't know what the parameters are as far as when you can request checking somebody or when you can't or whatever. I don't know, you know. So I think it's just, there's nothing wrong with trying to get together and find out if there is a product that pitchers can use or can't use. I mean, I know hitters have told us in the past over the years that they'd much rather have a pitcher that knows where the ball's going than when he don't. So all these things come into play. But the bottom line is, and these spin rates, okay? Let me tell you something. My guru is Johnny Sain. He had a ball with a spinner on it. He taught me all the spins and the proper spins on every pitch that was invented. And so when I stood behind our pitchers, I was looking at how the consistency of the spins on the pitch. So therefore, that was 35, 40 years ago, whatever, you know. And I'm not being old school, believe me. But the bottom line is that the game now is home run derby. It's home runs and strikeouts. Everybody's looking for reasons why everybody's striking out so much. Now, let me ask you a question. I don't know this. I've heard the ball was changed a little bit this year.
Yeah, they deaden the core a little bit so it doesn't fly as far,
right.
Leo.
Did they do any? Well, it's sure flying a long way when they hit it.
Seems like.
You know, what do they do? Switch back after the offense went down? But, you know, and here's the other thing. I heard that did they try to do something with the seams?
So
I don't know for sure.
I don't know if they tried to or not, but there was a big difference because I know they did some tests on that part of it too, that the seams were actually lowered in the last couple of years also. And that's the thing. I trust, just like you do, right? I trust my former teammates and friends that play baseball for a living. And Adam Wainwright was a guy last year, Leo, who talked about, he was asked about the baseballs. He said, yeah, they're totally different. Like, this is not the same baseball. I don't know how you can continue to screw with a product that has been working for so long.
I really don't get it either. And I tell you, I saw Adam Wainwright pitching the other, I think it was his last start when he dominated. I tell you what, I love watching him pitch. I mean, he's just not what we see. We see a lot of pitchers now around the big leagues. We call them heavers. You know what a heaver is?
Oh, yeah.
You rear back and heave it to home plate. Wherever it goes, you know. But, and, you know, the game, I think you have the game now. When I watch the game, sometimes I got to either turn a channel or do something like that, because when I see the way players act now, player hits a home run or somebody, they go crazy, or a pitcher strikes somebody out and he's, you know, going nuts because he struck out somebody. You know who my favorite player is in baseball right now?
Who?
Ohtani. You know why?
He does everything.
Watch him hit a
well.
Home run, right? He looks like a professional. He's out on the mound pitching. He strikes somebody out. He looks like he knows he's been doing that for a while. You know, instead of just going wacko, you know, and then I see, hey guys, I'm seeing guys, even guys, players starting to show up their own teammates now.
That was, who was that with the Blue Jays that wore out his third baseman?
Yeah, that pitcher there wore out his third baseman.
Oh. Strickland.
Yes. Yeah, that was pretty bad.
You know what? I learned real quick about that. In 1969, I was a young 19-year-old pitcher in the Midwest League, right? And I was pitching in a game, and me and another pitcher were tied for first in the league in ERA going into August, right? And so I'm in a ball game where I'm winning, or it's nothing in the seventh. Oh, by the way, I completed 15 of those games. That's an A ball when I was 19. I never had a sore arm. But anyway,
that'll work.
But anyway, so now I'm in the seventh inning. There's a ground ball to third with two out and a runner on third, and the third baseman booted it, and they called it a base hit. Well, I looked up to the press box and I flipped the press box off. Yeah, and so, but my point being, though, that when I went back in, the third baseman was real upset with me, and I thought, well, I wasn't doing nothing to you. I was doing the official score. He's, I don't care. I'm the one that was on the play. Don't ever do that again. And I, you know what? He made the point. I understood it, and I never did it again. So, you know, but I know Strickland apologized, you know, for that. I mean, I even saw, what was it, the Cardinals and Braves. Martinez got upset about something. He was backing up home plate.
Yachty didn't go for the tag. He opted to
avoid it. And then Freeman was going to get thrown out a second to allow the run to score, and they was too late getting the ball there. Something like that.
Yeah,
that
was
but anyway,
it.
He looked a little upset behind home plate, you know, and I'm going, hey, wait a minute now. That Molina, are you got that takes a lot of you know what, because he's one of the greatest catchers I've ever seen. So I'm sure maybe somebody reminded him of it, but guess what? Albies takes him deep. I didn't see anybody around, you know, a shortstop or an outfielder or catcher going, hey, man, what's going on after you give up home run?
What the hell, Carlos?
Yeah, what the heck?
Yeah, it is crazy. And like shifting gears, right? We're talking about the Cardinals right now.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
No. This is awesome, man. But like, I want to know from a pitching coach's standpoint, one of the best to ever do it. Like, I watch the Cardinals right now, and you mentioned Adam Wainwright, and thank goodness for the almost 40-year-old wonder, because he's been a savior for this ball club. But outside of Adam, and we know the Cardinals have dealt with some injuries, this is a pitching staff right now, Leo, that leads the league in walks by a pretty wide margin. Not shockingly, they throw, you know, less strikes than anybody else in baseball, yet they have like great defenders. So as a pitching coach, when you watch that, if you were to talk to the staff, or just, it doesn't have to be the Cardinals, just any staff dealing with the same problem, what are you preaching, Leo?
What I'm preaching is it's so much better to be sneaky quick instead of overpowering. If you try to overpower a pitch, if you watch pitchers try to overpower a pitch, throw a fastball harder than they can, a breaking ball sharper than they can, a super change, you know, these types of things, your mechanics come completely out of whack. And, if you know, I'm watching pitchers. I see some of the ugliest mechanics I've ever seen around baseball, with exception of your great pitchers, you know. But, you know, that's a small majority of great pitchers now. Most of them are just seeing how hard they can throw. And the other thing is, if you're sneaky quick instead of overpowering, then that will quiet down your mechanics and you'll locate better and the ball will get there just as quick. And then when I look behind home plate, you know, I see a catcher with the way they set up. You're setting up and in on strike one, or you're setting up over here and over here and up here and down there. And how about going hard and soft down and then work off of that? You know, it's like, you know, it's like the great pitchers that I had the privilege of coaching used to tell me. We had all those scouting reports. We had all the analytics at that time, you know, and I understand it's, you know, it's different now. But analytics are there they're there for the suggestion. They're not governing what you do, whether you're a manager or a pitcher. They're not governing what you do or telling. It's a suggestion. And I used to go down to the bullpen, and we were involved in some of the biggest games in the history of baseball. How are you going to pitch these guys today? Just making conversation, right? Leo, I'm going to go down, warm up, find what the hell I got, and pitch accordingly.
It seems sound.
You know what? That makes more sense to me than anything I ever heard.
Instead of, hey, no, you can't do that. The scouting report says the
oh, my
cutter,
God. Yeah, yeah,
my
yeah.
cutter sucks.
I know. You know what? In the 15 years with Bobby and I together with the Braves, we never told a pitcher one time, you can't throw this guy that. You've never said it one time. What we did was give them four or five ways to get the guy out. But you had to keep your base of pushing the throttle and pulling the throttle. And here's the other thing. And Maddox said it best. He said, all those things are great, but if you can't locate your fastball, that means nothing.
It's a fact. It is a fact. Leo, we're talking to Leo Mazzoni, Braves Hall of Famer, one of the best pitching coaches in the history of the game. Leo, I don't know if you see it the same way, or maybe I'm just watching it weird, but I watch how games oftentimes are called now, too. Going back to a few things that you said, pitchers that don't have mechanics that they can easily repeat, they have raw stuff, but they don't know what they're doing out there, and then I see the way games are called, pitching backwards, and guys can't do it. Do you think that we could get back to simplifying the game, like a starter establishing a fastball, then second time around, maybe he mixes in something else? I see games called right now as if we're trying to strike out every single hitter. Do you see something like that?
Absolutely, I do. And you know what? You're having games called like it's every at-bat's a save situation. You know? I mean, and how about this, guys? The fifth inning now is the ninth for starting pitchers. You see them now really getting in trouble in the fifth, this and that, you know. It's like today, I'm watching a little bit of Washington and the Phillies. Vasquez for the Phillies is pitching pretty good. He's ahead 5-0. He gives up 2 runs, they take him out. They take him out. Okay, he's ahead 5-2. What's wrong with that? Guess what? You know what the score is now in the seventh? 11-9. You know? But anyway, my point being look, pitching is an art, okay? It's not how hard, but when we always talk, I never cared about how hard a guy threw. I cared about what he selected, where did it end up, okay? But fastball command was 80% of our practice time was on fastball command going 60 feet, 6 inches, downhill to a catcher. None of this flat-footed throwing in the outfield. None of these gimmicks where, okay, I throw over here, do this at 30 feet, I do this at 50 feet. BS. You make your living at 60 feet, 6 inches going downhill to a catcher. One time another coach told me, he says, you do that a lot, Mazzone. He says, they'll have a tendency to throw too hard. I said, no. I said, that's because you don't know how the hell to regulate the effort. So because we wanted to do all our practice sessions exactly the way the distance, the mound, going downhill, the catcher, everything of what we were going to do when the money was on the line. What's wrong with that?
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing, Leo. Leo, now, we watched the Cardinals here, and BT brought it up earlier, talking about leading the league and walks. And my question to you, and look, I'm the hockey guy. I'm just trying to figure it out here myself. But
right. Do
you find the pitchers just trying way too hard to paint the corners? And in the Cardinals situation, where they've got such a good defensive field out there, are they stretching too much to try and make the hitters – miss on some of these ones where they're painting the corners, or should be throwing more strikes?
They should be throwing more strikes. I'm going to tell you why. Here's a perfect example with Tom Glavine, okay? Tom Glavine, in 1991, the Braves changed from Bobby and I got there in June of 90, so in 1990, none of the guys had experienced any winning there. And then Sherholz comes in, and Bobby develops the pitching as his general manager. Then Sherholz comes in with the defense. Okay, now Glavine looks behind him, and a new third baseman, new shortstop, new second baseman, new first baseman, new left fielder, new right fielder, new center fielder. All of a sudden, Glavine says, "I can pitch to contact a lot more because I got a great defense behind me." The year before, when they were losing, he had trouble. It was because nobody could catch the ball. There was no range. So anyway, what made our pitchers develop faster than anything was good defense. But guess what? You go to the pitchers and you say, we want contact. We want it on the end, or we want it on the handle, but we want contact. If you throw a good changeup, we want them to hit it. We want them to hit your located fastball. We want them to hit it because there's a good chance that's going to be an out. Then you're going to find out, if you don't try to overpower somebody, you're going to locate better and give it even more strikeouts or weak hits. Because here's what's going to happen. Pitchers get into jams, right? There's two things they resort to, superpower and super control. What happens with superpower? You overthrow the pitch. You miss in the nitro zone. You raise the risk of arm injury. Super control, trying to hit the black. You have to look at a pitcher and say, with your catcher, and say, does he have control of the whole plate, half the plate, or the third of the plate? What's his control? Very few have control of the black, except for somebody named Greg Maddux. Okay? He had the greatest control of anybody ever seen. But what's wrong with control of a third of the plate or half of the plate? What's wrong with that? You got to have that first before you try to control the black. So you got to understand that with your pitcher. You got to understand that with, with what his pitch selections are going to be. All that comes into play. But you have to take the time to do that, not look at some damn computer or some percentage numbers and say, okay, well, we do this, da-da-da-da. It all depends on who the individual is and what type of control he has. But if you're pitching away from contact and trying to overpower everybody, you're going to walk a bunch of people.
Love it. Leo, always an education, talking with you, always a pleasure. Thank you for spending so much time with us today, and hopefully we'll get a chance to do this again.
Absolutely. Whenever you want. I enjoy it.
All right. Thanks, Leo.
Leo.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Leo.
That's all right.